He volunteered to help us. Every piano player just about's up at camp, so we're glad that Miss Shirley and thankful she was willing to help us tonight. I appreciate that so very, very much tonight. Acts chapter 12, while you're finding your place, I want to update you a little bit about camp. The Lord's really been helping and using Brother Chris, our preaching Monday and Tuesday night, preached Monday night out of John chapter 6. We know that's where the lad and the lunch, and God fed that multitude, but he got preaching about how someone had prepared that child's lunch where he had something he could give to Jesus. Boy, he preached a powerful message how we need to be invested in the lives of others. And what a message. Then last night, preached out of the book of Acts about Felix and Agrippa on close is not close enough. And boy, what a powerful message. Last night, we had 11 people saved. And I will say this, two of them were adults over 30 years old last night. One was 41 years old out of Liberty, and one of us out of our place. And so God's been doing the work, and we had one of our young men surrender to preach Monday night. And so God's doing something, amen? And I'm excited about it, and God's stirring their hearts, and that helps us, amen? And so you be praying much, and we're going to pray at the end of service. That'll be closer to their starting time, and I'm doing that on purpose. It would just be, I told Brother Chris, we'd bathe him in prayer, lift him up before the Lord. God, use him tonight, and I'm looking forward to good reports from tonight, too, amen? And I bless the good name of the Lord. All right, Acts chapter 12. You're willing and able to stand tonight. And I'm going to read the first 17 verses here. Then we'll pray, try to preach as the Lord directs our heart. And then we'll have a time of prayer. We've got several requests also been added here tonight. We're going to remember that. And we'll be praying for the young people and then Brother Chris here in just a little bit as well. But here's a thought the Lord's been stirring in my heart since yesterday in particular. And I want to bind the Lord tonight. Acts chapter number 12 and beginning in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarters of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel.
But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, I pray now for just a little while that you'd help me, Lord, that my mind be stayed upon your word. I pray you'd touch me by thy spirit. Enable me to preach tonight. I prepare the minds and the hearts of the listener. I pray, Lord, we ask you first one in our midst tonight that does not know you as Lord and Savior. May this be the night that the Holy Ghost, I'll convict them and save them before it's everlasting too late. Help us as your people. May we receive what we need in the word tonight, that as we leave this place, we'll be a better Christian, a better servant for thee. And Lord, everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to look back at verse number 5 tonight, where I want to bring our thought from, where the Bible said, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God, unto God, for him. Now I'm going to preach tonight out of this text on this thought, the power of a praying church, the power of a praying church. Now, in the book of Acts, we know it is a transitional book from law to grace. We know this is a record book of the start of the church and the church age. And we find back in chapter 8 and 9 how the persecution began to intensify against the church, and how they were beginning to be scattered. We find great persecution from the Jews, but also from Rome was upon the church of the living God. But instead of letting the persecution cause him to quit, instead of letting that persecution cause him to sit around and talk about how bad it was, they began to pray and to seek the face of God. They began to ask God to help them. And matter of fact, a revival spirit began to kindle even in the midst of persecution. Now, I want to say this to us tonight. I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, but as we look at our country, we could face some persecution ourselves in America, possibly before Jesus came. But I'll tell you what, sustain us and help us through things. Help be us a praying one for another, binding together and seeking the face of God. Oh, friend, the church throughout the book of Acts, prayer is mentioned over and over and over again. Well, I got thinking and looking at this passage. There's four things that prayer did in this text of Scripture. Now, this doesn't exhaust the subject of prayer by no means. Matter of fact, we could preach on prayer till Jesus comes and not learn it all and not even tell it all. Amen. But I believe this in my heart. We're in a day in the church world where they'd rather play than pray. Amen. It's interesting. You have a lot of activity and a crowd come, but you talk about prayer and the crowd kind of thins out. But the reason our churches across America are powerless tonight is they have ceased to pray. Prayer produces power on the local church. Oh, friend, I could tell you miracle after miracle that God's done when God's people have bound together and pray. Now, I want to say this. If you're a young Christian, don't get nervous when I use the word miracle. Don't let another crowd that they just talk about all the time and don't even know what they're talking about scare you from understanding God still does miracles. Because he's still a miracle-working God. Amen. Matter of fact, the greatest of all miracles is when a sinner gets saved. Amen. It is amazing how God can change our nature the moment He saves us. Amen. And so we find some things here that we see how prayer was powerful. Can I say, first of all, as we think about, well, what will prayer do? Well, first, it will wake up the sleeping. In verse 6 and 7, look back there in those verses. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell out from his hands. We find Peter sleeping that night in the prison house. Now, I'm going to make application there in a second, but I'll say something. I don't know about you, but you would think somebody'd be tore up all night long thinking about dying the next day. But Peter's not. You say, "Preacher, why is that?" Well, yes, the peace of God, because of the abiding Spirit of God, I believe that's part of it. But I think a major part of it, something Jesus told him there at the seaside that day. You remember back there in John 21, where he's got the coals and the fish and they come and looks at Peter and said, "Peter, do you love me?" You remember what he told Peter on down in there? He said, when you're old, somebody have to help you along. He ain't old here. He just believed God. He said, "I ain't worried. I'm going to sleep. Boys, you can stay up all night if you want to. But the Lord said, when I'm old, I ain't old yet." Amen. So he had peace like a river. Because, hey, God done told him how it was. And he rested in what the Lord said. Hey, can I say to you and I tonight, we can rest in what God says in this book. When we stay up the night worrying and fretting, hey, listen, we don't have to. Amen. Now, I'm just like you. I don't pretend to be super spiritual. There are things tear my nerves up. All right? There's times I sleep well and sometimes I don't sleep so well. But I tell you what, if we can get our minds on the Lord, if we can get our minds on His promises, we can sleep better. Amen. Well, I got thinking, though, as an application, how Peter's asleep in jail. And in the church world, folks tell, "Well, the church is asleep." I say amen to that. By and large, the church world's asleep on the Lord. Amen. And you say, "Preacher, what can we do?" Pray. If he can wake a sleeping disciple up in the jail, you don't think he couldn't wake a sleeping church up? Amen. If the church of the living God would simply begin to pray again, I believe a lot of slumbering saints would wake up and get stirred up and we could see revival again in America. Amen. But it's going to take us praying. Hey, they got to praying down at Mary's house. John Mark's mother, who was named Mary also, we find her praying without ceasing. And God hears that prayer, sends the angel down there, and he just kind of pops Peter on the side, said, "Get up, get your sandals on, get your garments on, we're out of here." Hey, I like it when God wakes His people up. Amen. It's good when He begins stirring in our hearts and we are sober and alert and fighting a good fight of faith. So we find that prayer will wake up the sleeping. And before I move, I want to say something right here. If we ain't careful, we'll major on the problems of what people are doing and not doing and stand and say, "Lord, wake me up. Help me." Amen. I think you've learned something. I don't go around being a detective. I don't. I don't try to find out what you're doing. I just don't. I'm not going to start. I just want you to know that. You think I am, but it ain't me telling on you. Amen. The Holy Ghost lives in you, and He lives in me. And when I'm down praying and say, "Lord, I need the message," He said, "I got a good one." Amen. and he begins to give it to me, and I preach it to you. That's why it seemed like I'm following you, but I ain't following you. Somebody a lot bigger than me is following you. Amen. Hey, and I want God to help all of us. But before I even get in the pulpit, I say, God, help me. Amen. I say this in revival meeting a lot, but I'm going to say it to y'all here this evening and hear me real good. I pray for everybody I can. I pray for those lost that's coming, those that share people lost with me. I pray for them. Try to pray for you. Boy, if you're burdened down for something going on, you have to pray for them. But when church starts, it's every man for himself. That's right. You can't no longer worry about who ain't here. Are you hearing me? There's no need. They're not here. Begin saying, now, Lord, help me. Amen. Help me drawing close to you. Hey, because it ain't just everybody else needs God. We need God too. Amen. So we began to pray collectively. God will wake all of us up. Amen. So prayer will wake up the sleeping. Then let me say number two. Prayer will also cause light to shine in dark places. Look there again in verse 6, we find he's in prison. We find in verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. Now, I thought about this today. We all have dark places in our Christian life. I wish I could tell you there were no dark places, but I'd be lying. That's right. That crowd telling you if you get saved, you'll never be unhealthy and you'll never be broke and you'll never have heartache and you'll never have problems, they lying. They ain't just lying, they bold-faced lying. Amen? But troubles come our way. I've been talking to a young preacher in another state that has called me and want me to help him some. And I'm trying to help him. He's in a dark place. And where he's at, I have been. Exactly how things are in his life right now. And I told him, I said, son, the Lord sometimes in these dark places is just getting us to the end of ourselves. Amen. You see, as long as we think we can do something, we're going to do it. That's right. But when you find out you can't do nothing, and if God don't step in, it ain't going to get done. Hey, business picks up at that point. Amen. And if we'll wait on God, if we don't get mad and throw in the towel and quit, it won't be long in that dark place that God will begin to shine a light again into our heart. That's right. Oh, friend, you may be in a dark place tonight. It could be for a lot of reasons. It could be a sin problem. It could be a storm that's caused darkness in your life. But I'm going to tell you something. If we'll get back to praying, and pray one for another, I believe God could begin shining light back into them dark places. Hey, I tell you, I'm glad for the times he's done it for me. Amen. And God's not a respecter of person. Hey, if you're saved and you're right with him, hey, God will help you. Hey, sometimes you may go through schooling of a darkness, but when the darkness is done, he'll cause the light to shine in. That's right. Oh, friend, light shined in that prison. That's a dark place. That's an awful place. I can promise you this. If you'll study history, a Roman prison was not like a prison in America. You hear me? In this country, they sue from the jail cells now because they're not getting what they want to eat. Bless their hearts. Amen? Got color cable television. That's right. There is no such thing as a chain gang anymore. Hello. Yeah, I'm that old. I remember that. Amen. They should still be today. That's right. They're there. They ain't there for chewing gum in class. Amen. So that's mean. Well, I'm just telling you what's on my heart. Amen. But I'm telling you, the prison of the Romans was an awful, matter of fact, sometimes they'd chain you together with somebody else, and if they died, they wouldn't even set that person free to get the body out. They let that body decay chained to you. I mean, that's how bad it was. It's an awful place. It's a dismal place. It's a dark place. But God, because the church was gathered, because the church was bound up praying together, God sent an angel and he shined light into Peter's darkness. Oh, friend, tonight, prayer will wake up the sleeping, but prayer will cause light to shine in dark places. Also in verses 6 through 8, I see thirdly that prayer will remove what binds us. Amen. He is bound. Look at verse 6. Peter is sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. This man is bound. He is not free. He can't even go across the room. He is chained to two guards. He is bound up. But because the church got praying, God sent that angel. He woke Peter up. The light shined in that prison. And verse 7, and his chains fell off from his hands. I hear folk along and along in the church world say, "Preacher, I'm so bound up at church. Preacher, it just seemed like I'm choked. It seemed like I'm bound up." Well, I got good news. You can get set free. Amen. And I'm going to say this. I've learned this in my life. I know there's folk that when if they're bound up, they want to blame everybody else. And they'll say, "Well, the church is dead and I need another church." No, you need to get set free. I'm not talking about getting saved again. But I'm going to tell you this, as God's people, we get bound up. Hey, some out here tonight, you may be bound up with fear. Fear's got you on a lot of levels, some things going on in your life. And fear has so bound you up. You can't worship. You can't enjoy church. Man, you can barely work during the week. Fear's got you bound. Well, I got good news. The Lord can set you free. Amen. Hey, it could be you're bound up by pride. That's what's binding a whole lot of folk. Amen. It'd be a good day when you get set free from your pride. Amen. Now I'll say this. I know there's churches that clap, and that's their business. We don't, but some others do. But I don't say this to us because we don't. Hear me. The reason they have got to clapping in church is because nobody's saying amen. That's why they've gone to clapping where it don't seem dead. That clapping makes it seem alive. Hello. Number two about that same fact. You can be dignified and clap. Won't hurt your pride a lick to clap. But you have you an old-fashioned shouting spell one time. Amen. You just go ahead and cut loose and shout, and before you get good set back down, the devil's going to say, "You just made a fool out of yourself." Amen. Matter of fact, it might make your makeup run a little bit. Hey, as a fella, it may cause your shirt tail to be hanging out before it's done. Amen. You may do some things you never dreamed you would. But I tell you what's good. You get that pride beat down. That's good for us. Amen. Hey, so we find sometimes we're bound by pride and bound by fear. Sometimes we're bound because of disobedience. Amen. God's touched our heart about something, and we've not done, and it binds us up. But prayer gets you set free. Amen. So in the life of a church, there are going to be services that just don't seem like much is happening. I don't care how good church we have. It happens along and along. What do we do, preacher? Go home and gripe, say, "Boy, that's dead." No. We go to praying and say, "Lord, we don't want it dead. We don't want to be bound. Lord, we need you in the midst." Amen. So prayer set Peter free. And prayer will set a service free. That's right. By the way, I'm going to say this before I get into this last point. Praying is warfare. It's a battle. Amen. I heard a preacher friend of mine made this statement a couple of years ago to me. I hadn't ever thought about it until he said it. He said, you know, I hear people all the time talk about, I love to pray. I love to pray. And here's what he said. He said, I do sometimes. He said, but there are sometimes it's rough. And I'll tell you, that's right. There are going to be times when you pray, it's going to feel like the heavens is brass. You're going to feel like you're saying words and they're dropping off and hitting the floor. Everybody here in their Christian life has experienced that. Sometime or another, and usually on multiple occasions. Amen. But thank God for them other times. Amen. Where you get down to pray and you know you've walked in the Holy of Holies, and he said, I've heard your cry, and I'm going to help you. Amen. But it's a warfare, friend. And so the devil's going to fight you from praying because he knows it'll wake up the sleeping. He knows it'll cause light to shine in dark places. He knows it'll remove what binds us. Let me say this in verse 9 through verse 17. Prayer lets you see the supernatural. Now that right there makes independent Baptists nervous when you get using a word like supernatural. But I got news for you. God's a supernatural working God. You look at this text. When that angel first wakes Peter up, even Peter thinks he's dreaming. Did you catch it when we read that text? Peter thought, this ain't even real. Matter of fact, he don't even know it's real till he's outside the gate. For the Bible said he came to himself. That's a good place to get sometime. You just finally come to yourself and you say, it's really going to be okay. See, that's what happened to Peter. The supernatural, hey, his chains fall off. We don't know what's going on with these prison guards. Maybe God put them asleep. Maybe God caused them not to be able to move. I don't know. But they couldn't stop him. The angel Lord woke him up. The chains fell off of him. As they're walking out, gates are opened up like an automatic door at Walmart. Hey, that crowd thought they come up with something. They started an automatic door. Lord, they had it in the book of Acts chapter 12. Amen. Hey, they're walking out. Peter's still shaking his head, getting the cobwebs out. Doors are opening up. What is it? That's a supernatural act of God. And when he gets down there to the Mary's house where the church is praying, man, they've been without ceasing seeking God, being sincere. And Peter knocks at the door, and Rhoda hears his voice, but she forgets to open the door. She got so excited. She, for gladness, the Bible said. I heard a fellow one year as a teenager, but I never forgot this. I was at junior, senior from high schools were visiting Pensacola one year, and I heard a fellow preach out of that text, and he preached on Rhoda the Airhead. I ain't never forgot that. I mean, when you heard him, what, Rhoda, why didn't you open the door? She just so excited she forgot. Amen. Hey, she goes in there and says, hey, Peter's at the gate. They say, you are mad. We prayed so long, you're hallucinating. Yeah. I mean, and then they get spiritual. Did you notice that in that verse? First they said, you're mad, Rhoda. Then they said, well, that's a little too harsh. They've been praying, so must have got a little convicted that they said she's mad. So then they got spiritual. Why, it's his angel. Did you see that in that text? Got spiritual laws. That sounds like good badness right there. Amen. They realize, well, I've opened my mouth, put my foot in it. Now let's act spiritual like nothing happened. Amen. Hey, we see, but then he keep hearing this knocking and they find it so. Now I found this interesting too in that text, Brother Terry. Peter wouldn't let him shout. Did you know? He said, shh, be quiet. That's right. They've been praying. They could have shouted out, but they just have called up. They wasn't even believing God doing it after they prayed all this time. Hey, sometime we get that way too. Get surprised by answered prayer. Now, don't you act like you're so holy that you ain't done that. Amen. Sometime we pray and we're believing God a month, and then in a while we don't believe. That's right. Had to do like that man in the Gospels did. Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Amen. But they saw some supernatural event. Hey, I say, get it. I've seen God do some miraculous things. I'm not talking about that TBN stuff. I ain't talking about that trickster stuff. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about God genuinely doing something. I saw a little preemie baby one time. She could fit in your hand. I saw that daddy take his wedding band off and run it all the way up her arm. That's how little she was. They told him, you be ready for her to die. She ain't going to live. And we got to praying at the church. And she began to gain a little weight. And they thought, well, we'll see. But then something happened, and she got, some bacteria, something got in there, and she wound up with cerebral palsy because of some things that happened while she's in a neonatal intensive care. And they said, well, she'll never walk. She probably won't talk. I mean, they begin to list thing after thing. I'm going to tell you something. That little girl called me about 2 months ago on a cell phone. She can walk. Hey, she may be hobbling, but she can walk. Hey, she can talk to you. And by the way, she even got saved. Amen. Why? God's people prayed. God can still do it. I'm not going to get nervous because a bunch off television don't want to use some words that are in the Bible and cause Baptists not to want to talk about it. God can still do the supernatural. Amen. Hey, just as he's been doing, there's been pockets of revival in places here in the East. Hey, God can do it everywhere if he chooses. And I believe he would if God's people pray. Amen. Hey, we find the power of a preacher. It wakes up the sleeping, causes light to shine in dark places, remove what binds, and let us see the supernatural. Friend, I believe with all my heart, if God's people would simply go back to praying, we'd see some great things again. I don't think we've seen all God can do. I really don't. I don't think our best days as a church is behind us. Amen. God's done powerful things, but we've not depleted God's power. Amen. We've got folk in our church right now need us praying. They're facing things that only God's going to get them through. That's right. We've got people lost coming, sitting on these pews. We need the power of God to fall on them. Amen. So, hey, that's why, God, I believe, touched my heart this text, the power of a praying church. That's what I appreciate you on Wednesday night. You come in here and you don't get in a hurry when we go through these prayer requests, and we just pray till we're done. I like that. Because I'm going to tell you something. That is why Wednesday night got started to begin with. You may not know that about the history. They originally didn't do no preaching on Wednesday night. They got together during the Second World War praying, God, let our boys come home. That's right. And I can tell you something about this. Back up in Western North Carolina, and I won't name the church because there's some folk right here that know it. But during World War II, there's a church, they was meeting on that Wednesday just like everybody else praying. They had a list of names on the wall of the church of the boys serving our country. And during all that, there's an individual got upset at the preacher in the church. And he went in there and he marked his boy's name off that list. Do you know what? He's the only one that didn't come back. You hear me? I'm telling you, friend, we need to get back to that kind of power, and that comes through praying. That's right. Friend, God is still God. I'm not preached real fancy, ain't got real wound up or nothing, but I'm trying to help us. I believe we got a heart for prayer. I believe there's people right here. You feel God each day pulling you to that place of prayer. Sometimes it's multiple times in the day. You find yourself just trying to find a place to get by yourself and talk to the Lord. Boy, I tell you, that's good. That's good. Oh, friend, tonight, may we be a praying people tonight. Father, thank you for the attention of the people tonight. Help us now, Lord, in this time of prayer and time of invitation. I pray you'd help us, Lord, as only you can. Lord, thank you for allowing each one to be here tonight. Lord, help us to bring glory to your name. We love you because you first loved us. in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to give a little bit of invitation tonight, and then we'll have a full altar prayer in a moment collectively. But it could be somebody's got a need in your heart tonight. Boy, God spoke to your heart. And you're here tonight and say, "Preacher, pray for me." Indeed, I'm facing something, and God did. He spoke to me in the Word tonight. And pray for me tonight. Anybody, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God spoke to my heart. Thank you and thank you. I'm glad the Word of God speaks to us. Amen. I'm glad there's an altar we can bring them to. Maybe tonight, is there someone here that would say, "Preacher, I'm not even saved. I'm lost tonight, preacher. Would you remember me in prayer?" Anybody would lift up, "Preacher, I'm lost tonight. I see that young hand. Preacher, I'm not saved. Pray for me." I want us to stand tonight. Miss Shirley plays us a verse of invitation. Maybe you need to come, bow before the Lord, get some help tonight. I don't know what you're facing, but God knows what you're facing. And He's the one that can help you tonight. And I pray you'll come do business with the Lord.